네. A scripture from Isaiah 32. Says 32:15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness, that was the word that struck me, you know, that that I was hearing when we were singing some of the choruses. And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. You know, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, and send forth things at the feet of the ox and the axe. You know, it's okay. Let's read the Genesis passage. Genesis 3:17. I've been in Genesis for a long time, and it doesn't appear I can get out of it. 3:17. See, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 was one that struck me. It said, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know, the scripture from 13:17, 17:18, 19, they actually describe the state of man. You know, all that we go through. You know, you are toiling to get something from a land that is cursed. You know, that gives a picture of a wilderness. You know, and the land was not always a wilderness; it was a garden. And then it says thorns and thistles. You know, we all have thorns and thistles. You know, the opposite of thorns and thistles is fruitfulness. You know, fruits. You want to, there's some fruit, some trees, you want to get fruit from it. In the process, the thorns are there. So you have to be careful, you know. But you know, I was looking at it, and the understanding I was getting is that I can make a transition from the place of thorns and thistles to the place of fruitfulness. You know, you know, the thorns and thistles, it just shows that it's not bringing forth fruit. And it speaks of the earth that is saying is cursed. You know, it's humanity, it's man, the soul of man. And that's why, you know, you're not aware that you need God until maybe something happens, or maybe the Spirit of God begins to come, and then you see how dry you are, and then you begin to cry out, to reach out. I don't know if you feel it. If for some time you have not really had fellowship, there's a hunger in you, you know. But sometimes we can be in the place where we're not aware that we're even hungry spiritually, you know. So sometimes you can go on and on and on and on and on, and you know, even the dryness becomes a normal thing, you know. So we and to the point where we don't even desire God, you know, and we are carried over with natural work. The truth of the matter is what we in our sophistication call work and so on is really a curse. Because that's what he's saying here. You know, says the ground is cursed. That when you say what cursed really, well, there are different dimensions, but what it means is that the ground has failed to bring forth what is supposed to give to you. You know, so when you look at the ground, you're not just looking at it. Yes, the natural earth itself is cursed, but the real cause is from humanity, it's from man, because we are supposed to be, the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when the Spirit of God begins to come, it brings forth fruit. He says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. So the Spirit of God that is coming to water the soul. And one of the greatest disservice that the Bible schools have done, the contemporary theology have done, is the fact that over time the real ministry of the Spirit has been lost, and it's brought into the whole thing is, when you think of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit is always things of speaking in tongues. You know, that is what the Spirit is giving, so you can speak in tongues, you know, which really is so far away from the main purpose why the Spirit is brought. The Spirit is brought so that you can bring forth the life of God. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can bring forth life, you know. And if you look at John, I think it's John. There are two. Let's look at it. You look at the ministry of the Spirit. Look at John. I think John 16. John 16. Let's see from verse 13. Let's see what is there. Yes. If you look at verse, verse 7, let's read from 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Let me just touch on that word, Comforter. That's the word, Parakletos. It means one who pleads another cause before a judge, he pleads a counsel or assistant or an advocate. One who pleads another cause with one as an intercessor. It says, in the wider sense, a helper, a succorer, aider, assistant. You know, so it means an intercessor, a consoler, advocate, and comforter. So that's what he's saying, that when I go, I'm going to send the Spirit. And most of the things we go through Most of it is because of the lack of that ministry of the Spirit in our lives, you know, to bear the burdens, to be a help, to aid us. Naturally, we want to carry the burdens ourselves. We want to reason out the problems. You know, you have a challenge. The first thing you want to do is, you're in your mind, you say, oh, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. You know, something happened today, and I began to, you know, say, oh, I will do this. My natural reaction, you know, you want to use your energy and your power, and in the middle of it, it's like I caught myself and say, you have started again. You know, here you go again, you know, planning, you do this, you do this, you do this. And not realizing, it says, cast all your care upon me, because I care. You know, so we have not really come to that place where we are benefiting from this paracletus, this help, this comforting ministry, you know. Because the world itself is a wilderness. Someone say, how can you say with all these skyscrapers, big cars, houses, and so on? But there's no life, no comfort. You know, nobody caring for you. Nobody. If somebody does it, it's like he's going out of his way. We're in a place where there is no life. And even men, the people you meet, even we ourselves, when people meet us, they don't receive the life of God. They don't feel that life. What they see is thorns and thistles. We are all very, very sharp and edgy and irritated. And, you know, and of course, when you work in an office, the things that are going on, intrigue, so many things, you are fighting and worrying. So at the end of it, all the life you have is just drained out, you know. And I think that one of the things that, one of the ministries that we need at this time, you know, and the purpose why he's giving us the Spirit is so that we can have life, and then we can minister the same life to others. You know, so it's a life-giving Spirit. You know, and if you look at the story of the three feasts, the first feast, the second, and the third. The first feast, all of them are harvest. The first feast is the harvest of barley. Okay, and that is Passover, the first experience in God. You know, the second one is the harvest of wheat, which speaks of the Pentecost, you know, the outpouring of the Spirit. You know, but you see, the main feast is actually the first of fruits, okay, and that is tabernacles, where they begin to harvest all the fruit. That's real, the place where there's a real feasting. You know, they harvest the olive, and of course from the olive you get the wine. Okay, that's also what we're talking of, the anointing, the oiling that comes upon the soul. Then the second, you know, the harvest is the harvest of the fig tree, which is very sweet. And that is a piece of fruit, you know, the sweetness, fellowship. You know, I was singing in that song, you know, it's when I kneel in prayer with you, you know, and I commune as, you know, see, I'm talking about fellowship with God. Yes, you are. In the place where you are, your heart is reaching out to God, is reaching to you, and you know, and then there's the other one, the harvesting of the vine, that's the wine, you know, and that's actually spirit of fellowship, you know, communing and all that, and you know, and that is where we're coming to, where there can be a harvest of this fruitfulness, different dimensions, and it is by the Spirit. As the Spirit of God comes, you know, we find this fruitfulness coming. Something I was, you know, seeing the other day, you know, when there's a way the Spirit of God comes into our heart. There's a way, you know, the Spirit of God does not come by our feelings, you know, the Spirit of God comes by through our mind, through the Word. When we focus on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because the Word is the Paul says is the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's one dimension. He's saying that the Spirit works on the Word, the Spirit anoints the Word. So in that dimension, you cannot stand against the devil without the thus says the Lord. But that's one. There's the other dimension of it, that the Spirit of God, as you begin to, you know, meditate on the Word of God, the Spirit of God begins to come into your mind, you know, through the Word. You know, and that's why when you're coming from work, another way, your mind is different. You don't feel the life of God coming to you. But as you begin to get your mind steadied, you know, on the scriptures, on you begin to focus your mind on God, you find the Spirit of God begins to flow into you. You know, so the you know, God cannot speak to you, or doesn't speak to us through our emotions or our feelings, but He speaks to us by His Word. He said to the Lord, said to Moses. So each time God came to Moses, it was by His Word. You know, so if God is coming to us, He's going to come to us by His Word. So as we open up to His Word, then the Spirit anoints the Word, and the life of God begins to come, you know, into us. So as we practice that, as the life of God comes into us, He's going to bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so all those tongues and tistles, the dryness and all those things, you find begin to lift, and in it we will find life, and we'll find, you know, the fruitfulness. You know, the challenge of the Christian, of the Son of God, is to bring life into the world. And it's well, they say the priest must minister to himself first. So we should be able to bring life to ourselves. You know, a matured Christian is someone who is able on his own, when faced with challenges, you know, he has the ability on his own to know how to connect to God. You know, that is to break off from all the, because see, when things come, the devil will throw things at you. You know, something happens, and all of it is just to get your mind off. And immediately your mind is off, that's you are cut off. You know, because the link between your soul and God is your mind, and it's through the Word. And so if you say you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if when our minds are not stayed, you know, then we can't receive anything from God. You know, say a double-minded man is unstable. You know, I say, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. You know, so that means our minds are going to be bombarded. All kinds of thoughts, things will come from different ways, and all that he wants to do is to just knock you off balance, get you thinking, you know, how you are going to revenge, how you are going to shoot the person, how you are, and while you are doing all that, there's a cut. The flow is just cut off, you know. So that is the war. Why we say that the, I think it's Peter that talks about the things that war against the soul, isn't it also? Uh-huh. The fleshly lusts that war, you know. That's a different. The lusts come. Also the cares and the worries, the mind. You know, the mind is like like a bird. It flies, goes to different things. You know, but God is able by His Word to be able to stay it, to bring a discipline, and that mind is focused on the Lord. The I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:10 that talks about that the weapons of warfare, you know, that not carnal, that mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, you know, and everything that, you know, rises up against God. So the mind is the highest, the very highest mountain in the world is in the mind. You know, it's not the physical one. So the mind is a very high place, and you know, it's sometimes it is, you know, it's so good, it's so set against God. You know, but it's the Word of God that can bring it down, that can discipline it, and that is the purpose of always, you know, meditating on the Word. Keep the Word. The purpose of that is to keep the mind under, you know, to discipline it and to subdue it under the mighty hand of God. Say that they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's all the same thing, you know. Says, as far as the east is from the west, so are my ways from your ways, my thoughts from your thoughts. You know, so they're going two different ways. You know, but we must, it's a matter of life and death. If we are going to overcome, then we must find out a way personally of how to break through. You know, and the discipline of that is It's every day. You have to, you know, of course, thoughts of buying the oil. I must go and buy the oil. I must see God. I must meditate. Keep my mind. I'm walking. You must find a way to keep your mind. You are driving. You know, there is a task on the world. Somebody is coming against you on the world. That is the warfare. The warfare is within. You know. And as we fight, you know, and deal with it, you know, you see that gradually the mind begins to be broken. Anyway, I went off. Let's go back to John 16. I was talking about the Comforter, the ministry. He said, I will not go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have you many things to say unto you. Okay, then. Okay, verse 13. So how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, I shall shew it unto you. Now, so he's speaking of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you know, is the ministry of revelation to the soul, you know. Another scripture, I think it's 1 John 2, says that you have an unction or anointing within you that teaches you all things, and you have not that, you have nothing that any man should teach you. Well, not that you don't know, but what they say is that there are some basic. Well, there's a ministry of Christ within the soul, within you, you know, that we should benefit from, that brings ministry and teaches. Now, when you know, Scripture says, Paul said that the mind, that the Gentiles, that our minds were darkened, we did not know God, we were cast off from the commonwealth of Israel, and so on and so on. When somebody is born into the world, nobody is born knowing God. But the knowledge is that of, it's like a, not a personal knowledge, but it's like head knowledge, as it were, if you want to use that word. But the soul itself is dark, doesn't know God. So the soul of man needs a revelation, needs to see God. That's why I said, except the man is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So that means before you're born again, you don't even see God, you don't know God at all. So being born again is like the first experience of really seeing God as it is. And it is the Spirit that's given to begin to teach, to reveal, bring the truth. You know. So you see, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the Spirit of truth. So, and the Scripture says, if we will know the truth and of his doctrine, if we have a heart to do it. You know, so when we really want to obey God, and we go to God, God, you ask God, God will speak to you. You know, so you go to, yeah, there are things, even in our natural physical challenges, there are things that we, that, you know, bother us. You know, we need wisdom for one thing or the other. Most of the time we go to the wrong place, you know, but if we learn to go to God, he will speak, you know. And in my experience, I've seen that when I ask God, what, you know, maybe in the scriptures or something, I always get an answer. Sometimes it may not be immediate. It may come maybe when I'm walking on the road or I'm doing something. But God, the Spirit of God always brings an illumination and says, this is that which you are, you know. And even in physical things, it's, you know, challenges at work, you're asking, what do I do? What do I do? Yeah, just pray. God, wisdom will come from here, you know. I had to present minutes at this meeting, and my assistant secretary lost the minute. You know, nothing. We didn't have anything. He lost the minute. And in fact, he didn't come. So here am I, the secretary, and Of course, there's no way you will go and tell them that your sister lost. You won't even discuss. I didn't even mention it. I just told my president, please, oh, there is a challenge here. I told some of my, you know, some of my colleagues, we have to reconstruct the minutes. I reconstructed the minutes of VT 2010. Everybody has forgotten. I reconstructed, and at the end, when I printed it, they said this was the minute of the meeting. Nobody argued. In fact, there was only one or two or three people who said they were there and they were not there. I said, "Go, what am I going to do? I said, do I get annoyed with him? Do I do this?" I heard myself. I called him, he won't answer me. He was not picking his call. I said, "Sir, let me just tell you the truth. The thing is lost. What am I going to do? How can you go and tell all those professors that the minute is lost?" So I started praying. I said, "God, you deliver your son. How can I get out of this?" You know, and then one, you know, just the wisdom. Someone said, "Okay, tell the financial secretary, let her give you a list of those who have paid. Because those are those who were at the conference." So that's how we got the list of those who were at the conference. I said, anybody that didn't say his name will say, "Okay, correction of minute. My name, I was there, I wasn't there." So that's how we saw that one. And I said, "Look, let us look for the minute of the last meeting before that one." As of today, nobody had that minute. We couldn't find it. I went to the old files, I looked and looked. I started picking one, and I called my friends. "Okay, I will just try and summarize the meeting. Somebody wrote, did this." I went, look, it took me 1 month to reconstruct that minute. But at the end of the day, I had the minute. So when they said, I distributed it quickly. They looked at it, they were all very happy. So this just, you know, like they say, making only openness from thin air, is it not? You know. So it's, you know, the Spirit of God can help us. When you have a challenge, you have a deadline, you have something, you know, you can kick and think and complain and but we have a help. We have a help. So and it's something, it's practical. You know, you fail, you get another test. You fail, you get another test. Just that I don't know how long it is, but you know, the Spirit of God is there to help us, you know, to overcome the thorns and thistles. The thorns are in you, they are in the other person, you know. So it might just be that when you need comfort, what you're getting is what? Thorns and thistles. Because you're dealing with wilderness, everybody, you know. So we need to give life. And of course, even in the home, you find the same thing with the children, at work, you know. So it's really basic, the issue of having life. And the way out of it is a walk with the Spirit, you know, is the fellowship of the Spirit, to know that the Spirit is given to lead us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. God, we can have revelation into things. You know, you're looking for something and you're praying, you want answers. God can give you a revelation. You know, the church, God can show us things to come, you know, that relate to our nation, relate to your life, and all that. You're just, you know, we're seeking, want to know, you know, people are afraid what will happen in the future. You know, God can give us and they can speak to us and show us things to come. So this is the new covenant. It says, I will make a new covenant with you. I will show you, so that no man will need to say to his brother, "Know the Lord," because you shall be taught of the Lord. You know. So me, I've always depended on the illumination I get by the Spirit. You know, even in medical things. You know, when they talk their own, they are finished. I just go to God and say, "Look, now what are you saying about this matter?" And God gives me. My, you know, even when I read commentaries, fine. I still go to God and say, "Look, what's the word? What are you saying?" And the Spirit of God will always teach you, you know. So we need to develop that that relationship. He said, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you." So this is the one person. I think there's another scripture. I think it's in I think it's if it's 15. No, I think this is 10. They go back to 16. I think there's something in verse 26. Let me see. Okay, it's not. I love that scripture. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to Genesis. So we're just looking at the thing about tons and testos, an issue of fruitfulness. It says, verse 17, let's go verse 17. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast taken unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. It says, thorns and thistles shall they bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So in another dimension, apart from the personal application, this itself is looking at the application of of this in the times of in terms of the world, in the realm of the world, that everything that we find in this world is going to bring thorns and thistles to us. No matter how much effort someone puts in trying to build this, you're actually dealing with tons and testers. It's not going to go more than what it is. It's dust, and to dust it will return. So you're dealing with when you talk about dust, you're looking at carnality. You're looking at carnality. That man feeds on carnality. The natural man is very comfortable with carnality, with something that is much lower than God. Much more lower than the mind of God, the will of God. We are much interested. And that's a natural thing. People feel comfortable when they are not in the presence of God. That is the dust. Dust that art, and to dust you remain. The best a man can go is just, he cannot go beyond that. So it's like a veil that is put over humanity. The best the man can reach is dust, carnality. And that is the veil you see in that tabernacle. It's the veil of the flesh. And we must breakthrough. That is the call. We must break through that veil. If we look at John chapter 3, there's something he says about this veil and this darkness. He that believeth, John 3:18. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in him, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hated the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, so this is showing more light as to what we're talking about, the thing about the love of man for carnality, for the things of the world. It says in that 19 that men loved to be entertained with darkness. That's what my scripture said. You see, men loved. That word loved is the Hebrew word, the Greek word agapao, that is to be fond of. It says to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly, to be well pleased, to be contented at or with something. So you're wondering, how can man be entertained with darkness? So it's looking like the whole thing about what you call entertainment. What is it thing that I was listening to something, I talk about this boy who invented MTV base. He went and got a franchise from MTV to bring it within the context of Africa. They talk about the youth, and they did a lot of things, but the whole thing is based on whoredom, that is youthfulness, entertainment and all. But you see, the whole thing is talking of darkness. Man loves darkness. Entertainment is darkness. We had annual dinner, of course, they got some people to dance, and what do I dance? Traditional dance. That is entertainment, and people were laughing. And they said, man loves darkness, and with darkness, man is entertained with it. It's nourished, actually, it's strengthened. And he said that men will not love to come to the light, because when you come to the light, there's a reproving. We are reproved by the light. And he said, this is the condemnation that that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And this gives us the foundation to understand the work of salvation. The problem that man has is not a problem that I didn't have 5 naira. I saw 5 naira on the road. I picked it and went. That's not the problem of man. Not that the man is telling lies, or that the problem of man is deep rooted within his soul. That there is the thing about darkness is a problem within. Which God is aware of. So if you look, come to the tabernacle, and you are looking at God's overall plan. So God had to design something, not just to say, okay, fine, you did what is wrong. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. You're doing this. You said things you didn't have said. You thought things. That's not even the issue. The issue is that you have to get through with that, and you have to go inside to the root of the problem. So God has to go to the root of the problem. Now, the Old Testament could not address that, because The Old Testament was not looking at the inside. It was a set of rules and regulations which are types and shadows of the reality. You know, that the reality is that he said that men loved darkness, because the reason why man loved darkness is not man loving darkness is just one level of it, but there is something. Why does man love darkness? And he said, because their deeds were evil. If you look at the word deed, it's egon, energy. You know, the engineer is there, you understand, egon, you know what it means, works, you know, the works of a man. You know, the works of a man, there are so many things that are involved. You know, it talks about the nature of the man. In fact, the Greeks, they have four different words that describe this and say their deeds were evil. You know, one say it talks about the nature of, you know, that the man has a nature of evil. Another one says that not just that he has nature of evil, that the nature of man is evil and is continually degrading. That is, you know, there's a word, it says sapro, you know, if you read biology, it says saprophytic, something that is rotten, you know. So something that is rotten means worthless, it's of no use. It says, in the day you eat of this fruit, you will die and continue to die. You know, so the reason why man loves darkness is not just that he loves darkness, but that there is a nature of evil in him which is continually becoming more and more evil. So he is depraved and is continually, progressively degrading in that direction. So even if man doesn't do anything, the darkness is growing. The darkness is growing in him, in us. You know, and so it says that men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. Another dimension of this word deeds means somebody is piece of business. You have a business. You know, when you go to your business, what do? A business is a whole set of things that you have arranged. You know, you have these operations. You have human resources. That is the nature of man. Within the soul of man, there is a business of evil. Of so, it's an enterprise. That is, the man is working out evil. He's manufacturing evil and selling it. You know, it's all within it. So that is why he cannot go to the light, because if he goes that way, you know. And, you know, so these are the things that it's a man. And God has made the design, and that is the picture of the tabernacle that there is in it. So God has a plan and a purpose, you know, to deal with the soul, you know. So it's not just a question of saying, well, I'm born again, my sins are forgiven. It's not it. The nature of the soul must be addressed, you know. The nature of the soul must be dealt with. And this bit, the church is not interested. I'm born again, I'm going to heaven and start running, you know. So I'm hoping that maybe from tomorrow we'll be able to you know, look at the scriptures and then see how we can, you know, practically look at the application of the tabernacle, because it's very practical. You know, there's only one temple in the whole universe, and that temple is you, man. When you talk about all the things you are saying, the only temple you have in the whole universe is man. And that temple can either be a temple of idols or the temple of God. Before the man comes into the tabernacle, he's a temple of demon. He's involved in Baal worship. That's what our soul is involved in. So God is taking us from the darkness, you know, so. And he's taking us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, it's the kingdom that is spiritual jargon. What does it mean? What it means is that I have been a temple. And it says, can you eat of the table of the devil and eat of the table of the Lord? So here I have been a place where spirit, the truth of the matter is that the soul of man is in fellowship. Is, in fact, the real word is intercourse. That is joined to other spirit, and is enjoying fellowship with it. That is receiving life, but this life is of a lower dimension called dust. lowest dimension of light. The man is happy with it. The man is he's very happy with, you know, his operation at that dimension of darkness. You know, and God is saying, if you want to be a son, God is calling us to be sons. To be son means our soul is going to be delivered from there, and he's taking us to a point where we'll become the temple of God. No more darkness. So in between, that's going to be take a lot of dealing, a lot of worry, a lot of warfare, you know, to be able to get there. And men have their programs. Man can have this. And the truth that because man is man, anything that is of God will be corrupt. Man's nature will want to drag it down to the dust. And that's why God's program. God is always moving. He's always changing his program. He's always renewing his program. God is always calling us to come out. Because man will always bring God's program down. You know, but God will always move forward. He's always in the point. So he's going to send shakings, send all kinds of things within the church to keep man to go. Martin Luther was lost in the Catholic system. They took the Bible and put it underground in the Vulgate, locked it up. I said, it's only if you want to read the Bible, you got to meet the bishop. And the bishop was smoking and drinking in Igbo. So how will he tell you the Bible? You understand? So God had to send it quick into that place and bring a man and one man called like Martin Luther. He shouted, did all kinds of things, ran out, started shouting. That was how God delivered it. And the Bible came out, people started reading it, you know, and all kinds of. Because God has a program, and God's program is for the soul. So you see, well, we are not of them who was with him to the saving of the soul. The soul of man is in trouble, is chained by darkness. So God has a program to deliver it, deliver us from the darkness, and our nature will become a nature of light. And you can say, yes, you are sons of God. So you say, what manner of love the Father has shown to us that we should be called the sons of God. So we are destined for hell. You know, a man that is born into the world is going to the lake of fire. There's no, don't even, a man loves it. He's going to be very happy there. But he doesn't know that there's something better. But when God opens his eyes, he sees a new kingdom. He says, you mean this is for me? Then God begins a journey of taking him out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have to see the light. We have to see clearly this kingdom, and we have to make up our mind that we are going to go for it. And knowing that the devil is going to bring all sorts of things to us to make us settle for the less, get all distracted, do all kinds of things, you know. But we are not of them who draw back, but of them who press on to the saving of the soul. So we'll just leave it there. This is my way of introducing the tabernacle. So tomorrow, when we are fresher, we'll be able to we'll see how far we can, you know, take it and have an overview. Praise God. Amen.